Okay, hello, good morning. Welcome to Boundaries. I'm so excited to see you all here, and every week we've just had such great conversation, great connections with campers and talking about this topic. I like to start just by giving you all some permissions, because I think we're not all Christians, but so many Christians, we're really good rule followers, aren't we? Like, we're like, we don't want to rock the boat. But I also want you to get something out of this time. So I like to give permission to ask questions, to share any concerns or, opinions. Or if something I'm saying isn't sitting right with you, or you're not quite getting what I mean, or you have this thought of like, that, I don't see how that works, or you feel kind of skeptical, I fully invite you to share your skepticism with me. Because I would so much rather you raise your hand and be like, I don't get that, I don't see how that works, and so that I can address it, rather than you just being like, well, this lady doesn't know what she's talking about, I'm just gonna zone out and think about lunch for the rest of this time. I really want you to get something out of this time. So, and often, if you don't really get what I'm trying to say, you're probably not the only one. So it's a gift to me and a gift to others, because then it shows me, oh, maybe I need to explain that differently or more thoroughly. So please ask your questions, share your concerns. I invite those. I also ask that if you want to share about a personal situation and ask about that, you are more than welcome to. One, I just, the reality is, it's kind of hard for me to fully speak to your situation in a short period of time in a group setting. I may not be able to answer as thoroughly as you would like in this setting, as I might be able to in a one-on-one session. And also, if you want to share about something that involves another person, especially if they're sitting next to you, maybe ask their permission before you share it. And I have to say this because this actually happened like week two. And I was like, ooh, they're gonna have a conversation after this. I was like, oh, because I asked the wife, I was like, well, how do you feel about your husband just sharing that? And she's like, I'm pretty embarrassed right now. And I was like, oh. And it was ironic because it was like, that was a boundary violation. Like, your husband just shared this thing without, with all these people without asking you. So those are your invitations and just my ground rules. And so today we're talking about what is a boundary and what are some common boundary issues. Tomorrow we're gonna talk more about the practicalities of like, okay, that's great, I know what a boundary is, but how do I know when and where to set it? How do I even know what my boundary is? And if it's appropriate or not. So tomorrow we'll get way more into that technical, logistical, how do we do it? So I like to start by just asking, and even if you don't want to say it out loud, maybe just thinking to yourself, what comes to mind when you hear the word boundary? And you can just holler things out.
A fence.
Great.
Limit.
What was that one? Limitations, limits, limitations.
Privacy.
Protection. Anything else?
A line,
yeah. Yeah, we say you crossed a line. Yeah, that's exactly. Anything else?
It's kind of a violation also of expectations.
A violation of expectations, so yeah.
Kind of maybe not spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so boundary can be spoken or unspoken. Great. Disrespect. Okay. Anything else?
Safety.
Yeah, someone said protection as well, so. Good. These are mostly very positive words. Maybe some of you are like, I had someone one week just say restrictive, and I was like, thanks for being honest. Because those are all fairly positive thoughts about boundaries, but you also might have some uncomfortable feelings or thoughts about boundaries, or maybe some hang-ups of like, well, is that really okay? Are boundaries biblical? Are they godly? And we're going to address that today. So very simply, what a boundary is, I'm going to say what a boundary is and then what it is not. So at its most basic definition, a boundary is something that distinguishes one thing from another. And you said a fence, and so maybe you've read the book because they use that metaphor a lot. No, you haven't? Oh, that's funny. So the Cloud and Townsend book, they use that metaphor of a fence a lot when talking about boundaries. You know, if you own a home, how do you know where your property ends and your neighbor's begins? Most likely some sort of fence. In some places, maybe you just kind of know, yeah, my property line is just about there. But there's a boundary. So you know, this is my property and this is your property. You know, and there's that old saying, good fences make good neighbors. So that's boundaries. So yeah, that's talking about boundaries. That when you know what is yours and what's theirs, you know, you avoid a lot of confusion and a lot of possible fights with each other. So another way of thinking about boundaries is what is and is not okay with you. It's having respect for yourself and for others. It's taking responsibility for your own life and letting others take responsibility for theirs. And for each person, what is and is not okay, that's going to look different for each individual person. I have people that I'm close to in my life where I'll kind of be like, you're letting that person walk all over you, and I'll get kind of mad and be like, why don't you just say no? And I realize that they don't need to say no because they're fine with it. It doesn't bother them, and they don't mind. And so I catch myself like trying to impose my boundaries on them and be like, you should have the same boundaries as me. But we have different ideas of what is and what is not okay. And so that's gonna, there's no one size fits all thing here. So I wish I could just give you a list of like, these are all the areas of your life where you need to have boundaries. This is exactly what they should look like. I can't do that because that's not how people work. So I'm sorry, it's not gonna be black and white. So boundaries are also something that keep the good in and the bad out. Something that's so important about boundaries is that they are fluid. They're not rigid. They're not an impenetrable brick wall. You know, so a great metaphor is it's a fence with a gate that opens and closes as you want it to. And you can lock that gate at times if you need to. You can leave it open at times if you need to. But it's not stuck forever. And I think sometimes people get nervous about setting boundaries because they're like, well, I don't want to have to hold this forever. You don't have to. Boundaries are supposed to move and change because our situations change, our relationships change, the way our lives are working change. So boundaries need to be flexible and not overly rigid, because if your boundaries are too rigid, it's going to keep everything out, right? But we want to let the good in. And we want to keep the bad out. And we'll talk more about that. Come on in, don't be shy. So another, to use more biblical language with boundaries, it's simply letting your yes be yes and your no be no. And so often, you know, we actually do have to say no to good things because we need to focus on something in particular. I've had to say no to so many good things because if I say yes to all the good things that are offered to me, I don't enjoy them because I'm so busy and I have so much going on that I'm not being present where I am. I'm thinking about, oh, well, I need to, as soon as this is over, I need to get in my car and race over here and I need to talk to this person. And so I've had to learn, you're not only just saying no to bad things or unhealthy things, sometimes you actually do have to say no to good things. And it's not, yeah, it's nothing personal, it's just where you're at. But also, letting your yes be yes and your no be no, how many of you don't have to raise your hand, but you can just think, how many of you have said yes to something when you really wanted to say no? Yeah, you guys just heard you like, let's be real. Yeah, and then how does that, you can share if you want, how does that usually play out?
It impacts your schedule.
It might impact your schedule.
And your stress level and
yep.
Energy level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
me too, sister, I feel you. Yeah, so it might add to your stress level. Any other ways that can impact you?
Sometimes it can affect you differently. Mm-hmm. You can be happy that you did it.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, like, it depends on your reasons, right? If you're wanting to say no just because it's, maybe it's, like, out of your comfort zone, but you know it's going to be good for you, absolutely. Like, I woke up at 6:30 to go to the gym this morning. I'm glad I did, but I wanted to say no, but, so absolutely. Yes?
I just read an article this morning about how when students were offered coffee and cookies as an exam break, if they said you can come any time in the afternoon, that was a plus. If they booked it, it was a minus in terms of their happiness.
Huh.
And how many things, if you agree to do something on a rigid schedule, becomes another obligation instead of just meeting up for a coffee. And,
yeah.
Okay, so if you occasionally miss the coffee because you didn't come on your schedule, that's okay.
That's really interesting. It's more of an invitation than an obligation that way. Yeah. And of course, sometimes we do have obligations. That's part of being adults, right? But yeah, when we say yes to something, but we really want to say no, it can add to our stress. A lot of times we might drag our feet when it comes to that. And I know for me, I've told people, when they say they're going to do something, but then they're really taking their time, I'll check in with them and just kind of be like, you know, do you really want to do this? Or do you really have time to do this? Because if not, that's fine. But I'd so much rather someone just tell me no than say yes and then just drag their feet and where I have to get after them. You know, it's, again, going back to owning our own choices. So if we're saying yes to something, we have to take responsibility that we're the ones who said yes, right? And if we say no, that's fine. We don't need to take responsibility for that person and what they're asking of us. And we'll get more into this. It's so easy for me to start rabbit trailing because I just love this topic. So again, think of a fence with that gate that opens and closes. Maybe you say yes to something the first time, but maybe the next time that gets asked, maybe you say no. So again, it doesn't have to be a one time for all. It's not a one size fit all. So what a boundary is not, boundaries are not division. A lot of times it might feel like that. We're talking about a literal fence that does divide things. But in terms of that, you know, there's that scripture, the dividing wall of hostility. No, boundaries are not a dividing wall of hostility. What I like to tell people is sometimes it's a form of separation for the purpose of greater closeness. And we'll explain how that might play out a little more later. But at its heart, boundaries are not there to separate you from people or to create, again, those impenetrable brick walls. Boundaries are not selfishness. I think a lot of times people have a hard time saying no or setting boundaries because it feels selfish. And, you know, if you are in a church community or you've grown up in Christianity, there are those verses that talk about, you know, put others before yourself, consider others more highly than yourself. So there is some level of sacrifice we need to have for others. But I will argue, and you'll see that it's not selfish to take care of yourself and to say no at times. And that's an interesting balance at times, but I'm actually going to look at some of those scriptures. Boundaries are not an ultimatum or a way to manipulate or punish people. Boundaries are not about that. Boundaries are done in love and with your best interests and the other person's best interests in mind. It doesn't mean that the other person is going to like it, but you have their best interest in mind. How many times does God have our best interest in mind, but we don't necessarily like it, right? So people don't have to like it. You can be loving someone, and they don't like the way you're loving them. So, and again, we'll talk more about, I'm like, I just want to get into all of it. So yeah, boundaries are not manipulation. If you feel manipulated, people can use the word boundaries as just kind of a, like, get out of jail free card. And that's not appropriate. I had, my sister had a boyfriend who used to just flake on her all the time, and he would make plans with her, and then the day of, he'd be like, oh, I can't, and he had a lot of personal stuff going on, which was real, but he would just say, like, well, you know, I need this time for myself, and that's my boundary, and I need you to respect that, which sounds good, but over time, it's like, this happens more times than not, And this isn't a boundary. This is you not being able to make commitments and be responsible for your time management. So people can use that word. It's like as a bad word. So yeah, we don't use the word boundaries. You don't get to use that word and be like, I'm not responsible. Like I have boundaries. And so yeah, that is not what boundaries are. And again, a boundary is not a brick wall. Just keep thinking that fence with that gate that opens and closes. And people can swing to those extremes. So a lot of times I'll see when people have not had good boundaries, and then they realize, like, wow, I've kind of let people take advantage of me. I've kind of been a doormat. You know, they might get kind of angry, which is understandable, and that'll make them swing to this other extreme where they say no to everything, where they don't take any responsibility. And so we don't want to do that. And we want to hang out in the middle. I actually had a woman come up to me and say, I like the boundary stuff, but I've had people like use that, and it just feels, it actually feels hurtful because it's like they're not doing anything. And so, yeah, we don't want to be all no, and we don't want to be all yes. So we want to find that place in the middle. There's also a difference between being responsible for and being responsible to. So people who swing over to this extreme where they say no to everything and they say, well, I'm not responsible for you, they actually might be shirking responsibilities to someone. So we are responsible to people and things. If you're married, you are responsible to your spouse to a degree. You're responsible to be faithful to them, to love them, to care for them, to do life with them. But you're not responsible for your spouse. You're not responsible for your spouse's decisions and feelings. We're responsible for our own choices and feelings. So there's a difference. So you're responsible to your work, right? You're responsible to show up on time and, you know, do the work you're supposed to do. But you're not responsible for, you know, your boss. You're responsible to him or her, not for them. Does that distinction make sense? It can be a little tricky sometimes, but that's one lens to view your decisions and your relationships through. So we are responsible to people. So we don't want to go to this extreme to where we don't even take care with those responsibilities that we do have. We do have responsibilities, and there are times when we do need to say yes, even if we don't want to. So yeah, don't use the word boundaries to shirk your responsibilities. So boundaries come up in our relationships, how we use our time, how we treat ourselves, and how we treat others. And we can set them for ourselves or for ourselves with others. Sometimes you set boundaries just on your own. Like, if you're like, I need to get more sleep, I need to get more regular on my sleep schedule, so I'm going to be in bed by 11 o'clock every night. That's a boundary that you're setting for yourself. You're saying, this is the line, and when I get up to the line, that's where I'm stopping. I'm going to go to sleep. If you are a part of a local church and you're involved in volunteering, it might be, you know, I love this ministry, but life is so busy. I'm only going to serve one or two times a month. You know, that's a boundary. And again, it can be flexible. It could be maybe work is really crazy right now, so you just serve once a month. But then in the summertime, work isn't as crazy, so you're like, oh, I can serve two or three times a month. But deciding for yourself what that's going to look like, that's a boundary. Kind of the most obvious one that people may not even realize is a boundary is not letting your kid run out into a busy street. How many of you would allow that? Good. Okay. I'm a mandated reporter, so no, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't have to report that. But yeah, I don't think anyone would criticize a parent for running after their kid and grabbing their hand and saying, no, you can't do that, right? But for some reason, when we think of no's, we're like, but that's not nice. That's a situation where it's very obvious that is a very loving thing, right? You don't want your child to get harmed, so you have those boundaries. And if any of you have kids, especially if they've gone through the toddler phase, you know, toddlers get so mad at their parents for not letting them do things that are going to harm them. There's some social media account that's like reason my two-year-old is, excuse my language, pissed. And it's like, my two-year-old got mad because I wouldn't let him like stick his hand in the garbage disposal, or like my two-year-old is mad because I wouldn't let him drink like boiling water, or you know. So we have those boundaries with our kids, and they perceive it as, oh, you're the meanest mommy. You won't let me have any fun. But as adults, you know, we're like, no, I don't want you to, you know, mangle yourself. So that's kind of like a silly and exaggerated example to just help us get that framework of how boundaries actually can be very loving and with the other person's best interest in mind, even if they don't like it. So I also like to go into my apologetic for boundaries, because as Christians, it might feel uncomfortable to do this, because depending on what church community you've been in, and your upbringing, you might have some negative feelings about boundaries, or thinking, well, saying no, that's not really godly. You're supposed to give and sacrifice. And so I like to look at scripture. It's like, okay, what does God have to say about this? So if you've read the Gospels, you have probably noticed that Jesus was not a people pleaser. Right? I see some smiles. If Jesus were a people pleaser, I don't think he would have ended up on the cross. Because if he had just done what everyone wanted him to do, he wouldn't have stirred up things. He wouldn't have made the Pharisees, the religious Jews, angry. He wouldn't have been a threat to Rome. And he ultimately would not have died for our sins. So Jesus was not a people pleaser. He knew what his mission was. He knew what he was here to do, and that was his focus. And so that meant that he had to say no to other things that weren't necessarily bad, but were not going to help him on his mission. So for example, when he was starting his ministry, he'd go around and teach and heal people, and there are times when those towns would want him to stay. And like, who wouldn't if you have like your very own healer? Like, sure, I'd want one of those on retainer. So, but he knew his purpose was not to stay in one town and just heal people in that town. His purpose was to preach the gospel and then to ultimately be our living sacrifice so that we could have right relationship with God for all eternity. So in that moment, I'm sure that he disappointed some people, right? But now obviously we have 2,000 years of history to look back on, and we can say, no, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for not just staying there and for saying no and going to the cross. And he wouldn't teach or heal if people weren't open. He'd go to towns where people are like, well, who are you? Like, why should I listen to you? And he was just like, okay, well, then I'm going to move along. He didn't grab people and shake them and say, you need to listen to me. He was like, okay, these people aren't open. I will move on. He also, I love all the times when Jesus, people are like, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Sometimes he's sleeping. Sometimes he's up in the wilderness by himself praying. But it's not like, there was never not a need for Jesus to fill. There is always a hurting person. There is always someone who had questions. There's always someone who needed healing. Yet he still took time to go off by himself and spend time with his Father, because I think he knew that that was his source, because Jesus was fully divine, but he was also fully human. He had human limitations. He got tired. He needed food. He needed rest. So even when there are great crowds, in Luke 5 it says, great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. So he took that time for himself. Also, God, looking at the Old Testament, God defines himself as separate and distinct from others. So he says who he is, who his personality is, and what it is not. He separates himself from the other gods of that day and tells his people, Israel, you shall have no other gods before me. That is a boundary. The Ten Commandments are a list of boundaries. He's telling his people what he's okay with and what he's not okay with. He's making it very clear. And as I've grown in my faith and studied that, I really saw and thought about Okay, Israel, they have everyone who was freed from captivity in Egypt with Moses, they have known nothing else but captivity because they've been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. So none of them were alive for life before that. All they know is Egyptian culture and maybe some of their own Jewish heritage and history that has remained, but they have been surrounded by polytheism and all these other cultural practices that are not necessarily in line with the God of Israel. And so if you think of it from that perspective, that they come out, they don't know how to do life. They've been in captivity. So now they're free and they don't know what to do. And so God gives them the law. And when people are like, well, Christianity is just a bunch of rules, I'm like, yeah, it is. Because God loves us and doesn't just, again, if you had a little kid, would you just be like, eh, he'll figure it out? No, you're going to tell your kid what's up. You're going to say, hey, this is okay, this is okay, this is not okay. This is dangerous. This is safe, this is safe, this is not safe. Because you love them and you want them to do well, right? And kids, when they don't have boundaries, they act out and they get really uncomfortable because they don't know what's expected. So, and maybe you've experienced, if you know what's expected of you, you can kind of relax a little bit and chill. So I kind of see that that's what God did with Israel, that he said, I love you guys, and I know you don't know how to do life. You've never done it before, so I'm going to give you these guidelines and these boundaries to help you. So I see the Ten Commandments and the law as very loving. God also sets boundaries for our relationships. In Genesis, it talks about man must leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. So he sets out kind of these boundaries for our relationships that, you know, once you get married and start your own family, you know, your primary relationship goes from your parents and your family of origin to your spouse and the family you create, and that's biblical. And God also held his boundaries with Israel. He was not a pushover. And he told them the consequences of their behavior. He said, you know, if you worship me alone and follow me, it's going to go really well for you. Like, things are going to go well. But if you turn from me and worship these other gods and engage in these practices that I'm not okay with, then things aren't going to go well for you. And that happened. And God was incredibly patient and gracious, but he still, you know, was like, okay, well, that's, he let people experience the consequences of their choices. And he did come in and rescue. I mean, Jesus is the most ultimate example of that, right? And we don't deserve that. But he did let his people experience those consequences. So I already said that, you know, boundaries aren't selfish. And I already asked you to think about this. But let's revisit that. We talked about times when you say yes when you really want to say no. Now I want you to access, like, if someone comes up to you and asks, like, hey, could you do this? And you don't feel like it's okay to say no. So you say yes, even though your schedule's tight, even though that's something that you wouldn't ever remotely be interested in doing. And now think about, how do you feel when that happens? How do you feel when someone asks you to do something that you really don't want to do, but you feel obligated to? If you have any answers, feel free to shout them out.
Trapped.
Resentful.
Resentful. And
what was that?
Manipulated.
Uh-huh. Anything else? Those are very good ones. So are those nice feelings to have towards someone?
No.
So how is that going to affect your relationship with that person?
Negative.
So negatively. So much that if you're in a social situation and you see them, you might be like, oh gosh, okay, I got it. I've definitely run out of church before. Like, gotta go! Like, love you all.
Or you do avoidance.
Yes, you avoid.
Or you don't answer their phone calls.
Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, we might. So either way you look at it, it can cause avoidance, it can cause tension. And it's really hard to love someone if you feel resentful towards them, or you feel trapped, or you feel like you've been manipulated. So when we are honest, and again, we take responsibility for our choices, we are better able to love people. Because it's really hard to love someone the way Christ does if we're resentful of them. So that is one reason why boundaries are not selfish. They allow us to love people more fully. A researcher, and she's written a lot of books, and she's pretty out there now, but Brené Brown, I don't know if any of you are familiar with her. She has a great little video on boundaries on YouTube if you want to watch it, but she says in her research, and she researches things like shame and vulnerability and resiliency, she said the people who were the most compassionate and empathetic were the people who had the best boundaries. And I think the way that works is when I say yes because I really do have the space and because I really want to, or you know, it may not be I want to, but I sense that God is calling me to it, you know, then I'm giving from this full cup. I'm giving from this full life. Whereas if I am depleted and I'm saying yes out of obligation, you know, I don't really have that much love to give. I don't really have that much energy or life to give. And so when you're being honest, I mean, that's also a better breeding ground for intimacy and closeness in our relationships. So, and again, it's also us taking responsibility. So we might feel manipulated by someone, but at the end of the day, we are the ones who said yes. So, and that's really hard. And I have had many years of being like, well, they did this and they did that. But again, at the end of the day, I said yes. I need to take responsibility for that. I often tell people in my circle and in my church, because people will come up to me and be like, hey, would you, I'm so sorry to ask, but would you be willing to do this? And I'm like, you don't need to be sorry for asking. You have a right to ask. I have a right to say no. But a lot of times we don't realize that. So also think of if you've done some traveling this summer and you've been on the plane and they do the whole safety briefing and they talk about the oxygen masks, right? And they always say, if you're traveling with a child or someone who needs assistance, please put on your own oxygen mask first, then assist them. Why do they tell us to do that? Right? Yeah, because you might pass out from lack of oxygen. So exactly, it's the same thing with all of our resources, with our time, our energy. You know, if we are not at full capacity, we can't help others if we're fainting, if we're exhausted, if we have nothing left to give. So having boundaries and saying no in certain situations so that we can take care of ourselves, we do that so that we can give more. So it's actually not selfish. I tell parents all the time, you spending time just with each other without your kids is not selfish. It's not going to jack up your kids. They will be fine. Because the best gift that parents can give their children is a healthy, strong marriage. So you investing in your marriage first is actually really good for your kids. And it's so easy to let kids go to the top, but I would argue that your marriage still needs to be at the top because that's where your kids are getting everything. That's their model for love, for how to be a man and a woman. But it may not feel like that in the moment. So yeah, leave your kids, let go. I mean, within reason, but like, but yes, it's not selfish to do that. And same, you know, if you serve in any way, for me, I'm a therapist. And, you know, if I don't give myself any breaks in the day, I'm not gonna be as attentive to my clients. So it's not because I'm a jerk that I might say like, well, like, I don't have anything booked from 1 to 2, but I need a break. I need to eat. I need to drink water. I need to just zone out for a bit. That's not because I'm trying to make people's lives difficult. It's because I want my first client of the day and my last client of the day deserve the same level of attentiveness. And I have limitations. I'm a human. So I need, just like Jesus, I need to get away to a quiet place and replenish myself. So again, we say no and we put up boundaries to take care of ourselves so that we can better care for people. So that's how I see it as not being selfish. And of course, we can abuse that and we can say, well, I need to take care of myself. Self-care has become a really big thing in the last few years, especially in my field, which is great. But we can take it far, or if anyone's heard Treat Yourself, anyone know that from Parks and Rec? We can totally take that to an extreme where it's like, okay, if you're treating yourself every day, your bank account might have some issues with you. But but we can take care of ourselves. So another way of describing boundaries that I've kind of hinted at is what is my responsibility and what is not? And we'll talk more about this tomorrow as we talk about, okay, how do we know when and where and how to set our boundaries? But one way to look at a situation is, well, what is, in this situation, what is my responsibility and what is not my responsibility? One of the things from the book that I constantly have in my mind is poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. I'll say it again. Poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. It's so easy to get sucked into people's crises, isn't it? I'm just the resounding tells me that you're like, yep, I've been there. Yeah, and so just thinking, okay, well, is this my responsibility or not? So our responsibility, what we're responsible for, are our feelings, our choices, and our lives. And of course, things happen to us that are outside of our control. If you get sick, if you get laid off, you know, there's things that happen that are outside of our control, and it's not necessarily our fault. But ultimately, we are responsible for our own lives. And so often we'll say, well, he made me feel this way, or he did this, or she did that. But again, at the end of the day, we make the decisions. Even if someone gives us advice and we go out and do it and it doesn't go well, you know, we need to take responsibility for the fact that we chose to take it. You know, we're the bosses of our own lives. And while people might speak into it, at the end of the day, we're the ones who make the final calls, right? We're the captains. And that can be really tricky to gauge. Like, well, is this my responsibility or is it not? A quote from the Boundaries book is, a common boundary problem is disowning our own choices and trying to lay responsibility for them on someone else. We need to realize that we are in control of our choices, no matter how we feel. We have been so trained by others on what we should do that we think we're being loving when we do things out of compulsion. So again, if you're feeling resentful towards someone because they keep asking you to do things, I totally get that, and I do not say this with judgment at all, and I say this as me first, because I'm like, yeah, I've done that. Our resentment isn't really founded on reality, because it's not like they forced us. They didn't hold a gun to our head and say, you need to do this. We chose to say yes. So when we say yes to things we don't want to do and then feel resentful, I'm not saying that's wrong, because I think that that's just a very human reaction. But when we really take a step back and say, well, why am I resenting this person? Did they actually do anything wrong? It's like, maybe they were kind of manipulative. Maybe they were guilt-tripping you, and that's not cool. But if they're just asking, they have a right to do that. And it's our responsibility to say no. But sometimes it's so hard to see it that way. And I get that, because I was that person who just was like, yes, I will be everything to everyone. And then I didn't understand why I was so tired and angry. So I hope that as I say this and I talk about responsibility, I don't want you to hear me beating you over the head. There is so much life in taking responsibility for yourself, because then you don't have to take responsibility for other people. If someone comes to you that poor planning on your part doesn't constitute an emergency on my part, I used to work for a local church here, and I love it, and I'm still a part of that community. And my ministry director, he was such a procrastinator, and I'm like the opposite of a procrastinator. I'm like, I need to plan ahead, I need to know what I'm doing. And he would text me at like 10 o'clock on Saturday night for things on Sunday. And yeah, you guys are like, nope. And I was available to him Monday through Thursday, but no, something always slipped his mind, and he'd be like, oh, Saturday, I'll just text Ariana and she'll take care of it. When it's like, that's my time off. And I'm allowed to have time off, right? Like, you're allowed to have a weekend. And Saturday night, I'd be like hanging out with friends or relaxing, and then as soon as I got that text, it's like all relaxation gone. Like, now I have to start thinking about tomorrow and blah, blah, blah. And so, so I started resenting him, but then I realized I'm the one who's playing along with it. I'm the one who's responding. And so we had a conversation, and I talked to him about it. I finally realized it when I actually was on vacation, and I was in line for the Indiana Jones rides at Disneyland, and he was texting me, and I was getting more and more frustrated, and because he like wanted me to contact, this is our worship pastor, and he wanted me to contact the band and change a schedule and blah, 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 and I'm doing it, and I'm getting all mad, and that's when it hit me, like, why am I doing this? I asked for this time off, and he approved it. So, and he wasn't being malicious. He just didn't cross his mind. He was just used to asking people to do things and them doing it. And so when I got back, we had a conversation, and I just, you know, I was like, hey, so I realized that, you know, you were asking me to do things while I was on vacation, and I didn't say anything at the time, but now I do want to say something. And moving forward, you know, I need you to just ask me to do work things on my work days and in these times. And so if you forget and you do text or email me outside of that, that's fine, but just know I'm not gonna respond to you. And he was great, and he apologized. He's like, you're totally right, I'm really sorry. You know, and we had a great work relationship, and he's not at my church anymore, but I'll see him, I'll still sing with him at times, and I love him. But if I had just let that continue, like, that would have just eaten away at our relationship, and it would have negatively affected our ministry. But luckily, he was receptive. Not everyone is that receptive. So that's kind of my example of that poor planning on your part. Just because you had this last-minute idea doesn't mean it has to be my problem. In different work environments, there may be different abilities to do that, and I understand that. But that's just to give you an example. Yeah. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Are you required to respond to everybody's texts? If you know you're busy and you can't respond, I mean, that's the thing today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Lord, yeah.
This does come up. Mm-hmm. My pastor, half the time I never know when he's available, when he's not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever hear back from him anything ever. I have to actually physically catch him and talk to him.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of...
trying to figure out when people are available or when you can text.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all answer, because I totally have friends where I'll text them, and it's been 2 days, and I'll just text them again and be like, Did you look at my text and then forget to text me back? And they're like, yep, sorry. You know, we're more available than ever, but then we're getting so much more information, so things slip our minds more. So one, I would my general answer to that is no, but our culture is becoming more like you need to respond right away because texting is so quick, whereas back in the day when it was a phone call and we didn't have cell phones, it's like you knew... you might have to wait till the end of the day to get a call back because that person's gone all day. And so I think we can feel this pressure that we need to respond immediately. And while, again, we do want to be responsible to people, we don't want to blow them off, but it's okay to, you know, maybe not respond right away. Like, if I got a text right now, how does this make you guys feel? That's not appropriate, right? So yeah, like, oh, my boyfriend texted me, hi, honey, but I'm not going to respond to him because I'm here with you guys. So, yeah, with that, getting back to people, texting, and again, you need to have your own idea of what you're okay with, what you're not okay with. Someone else might be like, oh, I wouldn't mind getting a text at 10 p.m. on Saturday. I'd just be like, okay, got it, and I can put it from my mind. But me, I'm a little more neurotic, so it ruined my peace, and so I might have... you know, that's my example, but you might be like, why was that such a big deal for you? Everyone's different, so, yes.
I just want to add to that if you know that you have a situation, something that I do, like if I have a doctor's appointment, I either turn my phone off or I leave it in the car, because it is an interruption, and we're so scattered because... you know, you're so tuned to these little blips on your phone, and it drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I just isolate it from me so that I have peace of mind for that time frame. And it's taking that break for yourself, which is a boundary.
That's a beautiful boundary. And on the flip side, to answer that, like if people are hard to get a hold of, part of boundaries is also adjusting our expectations of people. And I think it's easy to expect everyone to be like us. And I'm pretty good at responding to people, and I'm a really good planner. Like, I am the planner in my relationship. And but I have to understand that not everyone thinks as far ahead as I do. And rather than be mad that people aren't as on top of it as I am, it's a lot more peaceful if I'm just like, well, like my best friend, she'll leave her phone in the other room for like the whole day and won't respond. And instead of taking that personally, I'm like, well, I know it's probably sitting on her bed and she's outside gardening right now. And so I've just learned I'm gonna text her. Thank you for illustrating. you know, rather than get mad at her, I could say, okay, she may not answer. And so I've learned with her, if she doesn't respond in an hour or two, I'll text her again or I'll call her. Like if I really need an answer quickly, I'll just keep bugging her. But if it's like not that big of a deal, I'm like, well, she'll get back to me eventually. And that can be annoying. Like I wanna know now. So, but people are different from us. So adjusting our expectations, if you know someone's not great at getting back to you, it's like, okay, well, I just know I need to see them in person. So I saw a hand, yeah.
Each person can set their boundaries as to when they're available and when
right.
they're not available.
Totally.
And that becomes known
yes.
in a family relationship or the work relationship, where there is a way of setting yourself up mm-hmm. for constant interruptions or setting yourself up for having your own time.
Right. And don't you feel so much better if you know, okay, this person is willing and able to take calls from this time to this time, and you call them in that time? Doesn't that feel so much better than when you're like, oh, I hope I'm not imposing. I don't know if they're free right now. Like, again, when you know those expectations, there's a lot more freedom. You can plan your life. So you telling people, I'm available from this time, that's actually caring for them. You're helping people to, you know, not get frustrated, and you're letting them know what to expect. So
yes. I think it's all in getting used to new things too, because
yeah.
I think text is so much better than a phone call, because you answer the phone to a phone call, but text you can let go. You don't have to answer it right
yeah.
away. I think that we get too stressed and we answer things right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I see a text was designed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can answer it when you can, not that
mm-hmm.
you keep it forever.
Right.
My husband will say, aren't you answering it? Aren't you answering it? I said, no. I said, we take time. We
mm-hmm.
didn't know we're going to get back, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's...
Yeah. We can choose. We have a choice, right? And we might feel pressure. I have, and especially in younger generations, there is more pressure to answer back right away in that social world for teens and young adults. And I had a young adult client who was like, my friend got mad at me because I didn't respond to her for 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, good Lord. I'm so glad I'm in my 30s already. And like, that's not my expectation. So, but I would say the reality is, yeah, you respond when you can. So. This is a good, I've never had this specific topic come up, but it's a good one. Did I see your hand?
Yeah, what about when you set boundaries for yourself and then you feel like you're weak compared to everyone else? So an example would be ministry. You say, I can only serve once a quarter or something, and you feel that, why can I only serve once a quarter? That seems, you know, that I'm weak compared to everyone else who's able to serve once a month.
Yeah. That's such a good, thank you for sharing that, because that's very personal, that feeling. That could be a lot of stuff. It's like, well, what, and I'm not saying this is you, but I think a lot of us, we can get our sense of self-worth from what we're able to do for people, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow, and actually, that's a great segue to talking about kind of the types of boundary violations. And one is compliance, and those are people who feel like they have to say yes to everything, and they would be very uncomfortable with having those limits. And a lot of times with people who have that style, you know, they get their sense of identity and self-worth from what they can do for others and being helpful for others. This has definitely been me. But it also might be, well, what do you mean it's weak? And what else is going on in your life that's not going on in their lives? I think a lot of times we compare our inner worlds to people's outer, well-curated worlds. And so, yeah, you might feel like, wow, I'm such a wuss, like, I'm only doing this. But maybe you have a family and you have all these other things going on that other people don't, and you don't know because you don't know their lives. So I think it's really easy. There's this saying that someone told me, compare and despair. So whenever we compare ourselves to other people, it just leads to despair. It leads to not feeling super great about ourselves. So it could be part of that. It could be that we're so used to getting our sense of self-worth from what we can do for others, which, you know, that's not the gospel. Our sense of self-worth comes from being a beloved child of God, and we did nothing to earn that. That is the gospel, that God loves us so much that he said, I'm going to give you this free gift of grace, not because you're good, but just because I love you. So, but we Christians fall into that. I fall into that. So,
I have one more question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People who are on the other side as well, because I'm sure we both always have been on the other sides of the coin.
So the person who's doing the asking, but wanting to be sensitive to where someone's
so
at.
So maybe somebody's not able to vocalize, how do you, you know, maybe there's some things you can share about the person who's on the other side.
Yeah. Well, that's tricky because I'm pretty sure none of you have mind reading powers, right? So again, it does go back to responsibility. Like what I do is if I feel like someone's dragging their feet, I might check it out with them and be like, you know, or if I know they have a lot going on, but they still say yes. Like if I have some evidence, I might just say, you know, I know you said yes, but like it's okay for you to say no. Or just even initially, if you're asking and you don't know how comfortable this person is with saying no, just saying, hey, I wanted to ask if you'd be willing to do this or if you'd be interested in this. If not, that's totally fine. I can find someone else. So giving that out, you know. And again, if they say, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that, but they don't really want to, that's on them. You know, you're giving them the option. But, you know, we can't read their minds ultimately, but we can, you know, be gracious in our asking and, you know, saying, like, I'd love for you to do this, but if you really feel like you can't right now, that's okay. So that's a quick answer to that. Yes?
I was just thinking, too, that we can give people time to give us an answer back.
Absolutely.
And just say, you know,
yeah.
would you be willing to just think about doing mm-hmm. it? And even if you're a believer, praying about whether the Lord would want you to do that.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, just let me know in a few days. Or
mm-hmm.
could you let me know by Friday if that is going to work for you?
Yeah.
Because then you have a chance to assess your life and
mm-hmm.
your time, and you're not feeling the pressure.
Yeah.
And then I'm not putting pressure on them to
right.
tell me right now. It's like, I don't need to know right now. And
mm-hmm.
that's what I do with people. I'll say, you know, I'm going to think about it and get back to you.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you, and I tell them I'll get back to you by tomorrow or
right.
maybe by Friday,
mm-hmm.
Whether I can or can't do that. I'm going to look at my schedule and
mm-hmm.
think it through. And so I just like having that
absolutely.
Time.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't know. A lot of times I don't know initially how I feel about something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's great because you're respecting them.
Yes.
And their needs, but you're also respecting yourself. It's like, I don't need to know right now, but I do need to know, like,
yeah.
within a certain time frame.
Right.
So that's beautiful. You're respecting yourself and them and their needs. So, yeah, there's ways we can ask that are direct, but not, we don't have to pin people to the wall, right? We can say, hey, I really need help with this. But, you know, it's also trusting, like, God will provide someone else if it's not you. But saying, yeah, could you just let me know by, like, tomorrow evening? Does that work for you? Great. So absolutely. Yeah, these are good thoughts. So just moving on and kind of to wrap up, I do like to talk about those different types. We've talked a lot about compliance, and these are people who just kind of say yes to everything, even the bad. And there's lots of reasons why we do that. Like, again, it might feel mean or selfish or unspiritual. But then that can lead to that resentment, stress and anxiety, dreading people or social events. If you're experiencing any of that, you might be a compliant or a people pleaser. And something that Cloud and Townsend say is that God wants us to be compliant from the inside out, which is compassion, not compliant on the outside and resentful on the inside, which is unhealthy sacrifice. And then on another side is avoidance. And these are the people who say no to everything, which includes the good. So this might look like a wall. And these are people who won't ask for help. And they can actually be compliant and avoidant. They might be compliant with everyone else and give and give and give, but when it comes to themselves and what they need, they won't ask for help. And so you can imagine how depleting that can be. And so you're letting all this extra stress into your life, but you're not letting in that care and love for yourself from others. So that can be really damaging. Then we have controllers, and these are people who have a hard time respecting other people's boundaries. Another way I say it is they don't hear the no. And my example is like in my big fat Greek wedding when the fiance comes and the mom's like, oh, are you hungry? Do you want something? And he's like, oh, no, I just ate. And she's like, okay, I cook you something. Yeah. You know, it's like, doesn't matter what he said. She's going to cook him something either way. And this goes back to the where's our self-worth going. Often people who are controllers and who do things for people when it's not asked or maybe insert themselves into situations to be helpful, but it actually can create more of a problem, they'll get mad when they're not appreciated, but then they're doing things for others that they haven't even asked for. And so a question to ask ourselves is, am I wanting to help for this person's sake or for myself? And that, it's not always obvious. And I know for me, when the Lord started showing me that this was something that I did, it was very painful. And I felt like very like, I'm such a jerk. Like, what's wrong with me? But God is good and has brought me out of that for the most part. I still catch myself doing it every once in a while. But really being honest, like, if this person did not acknowledge me or thank me at all, would I still feel good about what I did? If the answer is yes, then it's probably in good motives. But if I'm like waiting for that thank you or that acknowledgement, it's like maybe it's my motivation isn't great. And it's not wrong to want to be acknowledged for good things you're doing. But again, if that's our main motivation, it's probably not coming from the right place. And again, we'll get mad at people. And it's like, but I didn't even ask for this. like getting a gift that you don't, my dad is like so good at buying the women in our family, like very expensive but very impractical gifts that no one likes. It's like, and we tell him every year, we're like, we just want this, but he still buys us the expensive impractical gift. And it's like, and he'll get like mad and like, well, and I'm like, well, Dad, like it's been like 30 plus years, like figure it out. So bless him. He's 80, it's never gonna change. I'm just like, okay. I just learned to be like, thank you, Dad, I love you. And then lastly, we have non-responsives, and these are people who just don't hear the needs of others. Those are the people who go on this side and say, well, I'm not responsible to anyone or anything, and that's not true. So that's the opposite end of the spectrum from compliant. They don't ask things from others, but they don't do anything for others. And again, that's a very lonely place to be, and I believe God has designed us to be interdependent in a healthy way on each other. He's designed us for relationship and connection. And yeah, dealing with other people sure does complicate things. But at least for me, I know that having other people involved in the things I do makes it so much richer. Like, yeah, it makes it more complicated, but it's so much richer. So those are our four categories. So you might think about, you know, and you might be in more than one. So am I compliant? Do I say yes too much when I really don't mean yes? Am I avoidant where, you know, I don't really let anyone help me? I say no to good things. Am I a controller? Do I overstep people's boundaries and then get mad at them when they don't appreciate me for doing that? Or am I non-responsive? Do I just totally block out the needs and feelings of others? And, you know, just as we close, I usually end with a song, but we're out of time, so if you come tomorrow, I'll start with the song. But there's no shame in any of these, because we all have reasons for why we are the way we are. And a question I ask when I'm working with clients and there's, you know, something going on, it's not what's wrong with you, it's what happened to you. You know, we all come from different family backgrounds and dynamics, and things that we do as adults that are working against us or not helpful for us, often those behaviors and patterns served a purpose at one point in our life. And so just to take the shame out of it, it's not wrong, it's just, okay, it's time to adjust. You know, we're grown-ups now and life is different. And a lot of times the way that we hold or do not hold boundaries is a reflection of that. So as you think about where do I fit in this, I pray that rather than feeling, you know, condemnation or like, oh, I can't believe I'm a controller, that's awful. It's like, it's okay. Like, God still loves you. And you are still good and wonderful. So, but we can't change it until we acknowledge it. So I hope that you can maybe think on this and chew on this. If you want to join tomorrow, we'll talk about like, okay, this is all great, but now what? So we'll talk about how do you distinguish what's your responsibility, what's not, what you're okay with, what you're not okay with, and we'll get a little more into the practicalities. But thank you for being such an engaged, fun group, and enjoy your lunch. Thank you.